How many of you guys have been here every week so far? Nice. A few of us. How many of you guys is your first week here, first Sunday here in the last 3 weeks? Great. A few of you guys. Okay. Well, welcome. But with that, we've been in a series in Psalm 23. And this psalm for me has been really important and impactful in my life, and in Natalie's life, and in our marriage, and in our family. In the last few months, it's been something that I've been meditating on, I've been studying, and has just been on my mind all the time. And I have the privilege of studying and meditating over it a few more times a week than most, because I'm trying my best to teach what is being communicated in here. And with that, God is absolutely transforming the way that I see him in my relationship with him. That when I meditate on God as my shepherd in my day-to-day life, it's actually changing who I am. And I hope that for some of us, it's going to be different, but I hope that for all of us, that Psalm 23 is coming alive to us in fresh ways, that we're able to come here on Sunday mornings and study it on our own and meditate on it throughout our days, and that it's actually changing the way that we live our lives. It's actually changing the way that we relate to God. That is the hope for this series. Not just that we know more, but that it would actually change and transform who we are and how we live. So with that, we've been spending 6 weeks exploring the images of Psalm 23 and what it looks like to trust God as our shepherd. Last week, we were in verse 2. Who can tell me what verse 2 of Psalm 23 is without looking? Yes.
He leads me beside
quiet waters. Yes. That's the second half of it. What's the first half? Yes, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And then a little bit of verse 3, but it's basically connected. He refreshes my soul. So last week we talked about how we can find rest and peace in Jesus as our good shepherd. That when we are burdened, when we feel kind of worn out and just tired from the world, circumstances in life, maybe things going on at home in our family or in our friend group or whatever that may be, circumstances in life or temptations, our own sin, the things about us that aren't good, that aren't of God, that we just keep battling and we know it's wrong, but we keep going back to it, and that can wear us out and burden us. The pressure of just the world in general, and those feelings that come up of fear of the future or anxiety about things going on in our life, right? These are all things that can burden us, that can weigh us down and make us feel like, oh, I like can't take another step. I don't want another day. I can't do it anymore. We can find rest and refreshment from those things in Jesus. The circumstances, the things in life might not change, but when we trust in Jesus and what he did on the cross and his forgiveness for us, but then also trust him in our daily life, we can find rest and refreshment in our souls, the deepest parts of us. The other thing we talked about is when we are burdened for striving for God's approval, right? Not just doing good things because we want to do it for God, but actually that feeling of like, oh, I'm doing all these bad things. Now I need to work really hard and go to church and read my Bible a lot and do all these religious stuff to earn God's approval so he doesn't hate me, right? That feeling, right? And that's not truth, but we can have that feeling, a feeling like we have to strive to earn God's approval. But in Jesus, we don't have to. In Jesus, we can rest in what he did on the cross and his forgiveness for us and then live out of the overflow of that. And love God in that way. So we talked about that last week of what it looks like for God to make us lie down and lead us beside quiet waters. This week, I'm really excited because we are in verse 3, and I'm really excited for what God has for us. So let's pray just as we get in to this morning. God, we need you to be our shepherd. And we recognize that you are our shepherd, but that we have to trust you as our shepherd. So I pray this morning as we continue to dive into these images of what it looks like for you to be our shepherd, that your word would come alive to us this morning. As we try to make sense of what it's saying, that you would give us insight and wisdom and truth that we could hold on to and that would change us from the inside out. So be with us this morning as we go through this. We love you in your name. Amen. All right, so I'm going to read Psalm 23, just verse 3. So if you have your Bibles, turn to it with me. And we're just going to stay there. And it's one verse, so but it's good to have in front of you just to have there. Or if you're taking notes, you could even write it down because it's not that long. So verse 3, coming off of talking about how God is our shepherd, makes us lie down in green pastures, and he leads us beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. And this is the second half of verse 3. He guides me along the right paths for his namesake. So the Lord is my shepherd. He guides me along the right paths for his namesake. So if you're taking notes, you can copy it off the board. I think out of all of Psalm 23, this may be one of the most overlooked parts of the whole passage, at least for me, because it feels obvious, right? When you read through it, you're like, oh yeah, the images of lying down in green pastures. A lot of times we skip to what we're going to be in next week of even though I walk through the darkest valleys. But there's verse 3, the second half of verse 3 in between feels kind of obvious, right? Oh yeah, God guides me on the right path. Great, that's kind of obvious. But I think as we get into it this morning, there's so much more to it than just God guides me along right paths. And even with that, we need to understand what that means. What does it mean that God as our shepherd guides us along right paths? So we're going to dive in deep into that, starting with the first three words, which are, he guides me. So he guides me. What does it mean that he guides me? What is it? Well, before we start, before we get into that, what does it mean for someone to guide you? I'm taking answers. What does it mean for someone to guide you? Yeah, Aaron.
To lead you.
To lead you. Okay. Yeah. What?
Like when you're blindfolded,
so
like move you along somewhere.
Okay. So lead you, or you're saying like if someone was blindfolded, they could guide you along somewhere. Yeah.
To show you.
To show you. Yeah, I love that. Someone who's guiding you shows you. The dictionary definition, I looked this up, and it's funny when you look up dictionary definitions of words that are common, like guide, and then you're like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. And that happened to me here. So to guide is to show or to indicate the way. So specifically, someone guiding you is they're not just showing you something, they're showing you the way, the right direction to go or the right way to do something. The other definition is to direct or influence the course of action of someone. I'm going to read that again. To direct or influence the course of action of someone, or to steer or to captain, right? These are all words that we use to describe guiding someone. But I love that image, one of showing or indicating the way, and then also directing or influencing the course of action. Like I have in the image of my mind, like if you have like salt and pepper shakers at home and they aren't distinguished which one's the salt and pepper shaker, anyone? Natalie and I have these two, the salt and pepper shakers that we got in Portugal, and they hug each other. I should have brought them. They hug each other and it's really cute, but you don't know which one's the salt and which one's the pepper. They're the exact same, but they hug. Are they the exact same?
Except they have different numbers.
My point exactly. If I wanted to get to the salt, I would need Natalie to guide me to the salt. If I reached out and tried to guide, I would need her to influence the direction of where I'm going to get the right thing. I think we get the point. But I've had some experience with guides before. Specifically, when I was 10 years old, my family took a trip to Zion National Park. Has anyone been to Zion before in Utah? Oh, amazing, right? So beautiful. And the reason I was there was because my older brother, Kyle, did Boy Scouts. Any Boy Scouts in here? Yes, Josiah, come on. So I didn't do Boy Scouts. I just tagged along for all the fun stuff. So I didn't have to go to the meetings or anything like that. I just went on the trips, which was awesome. And there's a family Boy Scout trip to Zion National Park, and it was literally the best trip in the world. And I looked forward to it for like months. Because you know when you're 8, 9, 10 years old, like those big trips are the things that you want to be a part of. You look forward to it. When you're at school, you think about it. So it was during the summer. I was really excited about it. And when we got there, we did some insane activities. We fished in a lake during a thunderstorm, which is not what you're supposed to do, I guess. But we did it, and we caught a ton of fish, which was awesome. We did some axe throwing. Has anyone thrown an axe before? It's quite all the guys, and Ella, and Charlotte, and Cole. I love it. Axe throwing is pretty impressive. Like, it's a really fun activity. You wouldn't think, like, oh, yeah, throwing a metal thing. But when it hits and sticks, there's no better feeling than throwing an axe, right? And there's people that actually do it for, like, a living. They're, like, axe throwers for competitions. Pretty crazy. Anyways, we axe threw, and we did a ton of hikes. But the best hike that we did was the Narrows hike, the famous Narrows hike. You've done the Narrows hike? Yes, it's so cool. So I've got a picture of what the Narrows hike looks like at one of the parts. But basically, the Narrows hike is a collection, I don't know what you call it, rivers, a bunch of rivers that run through like 100-foot canyon walls for miles and miles and miles. And as you go through it, there's waterfalls and tunnels and a ton of different stuff. But you literally walk in a river in between two massive canyons, and it's so beautiful and so cool. So naturally, I heard that we were gonna go on that at the end of the trip, so I went and researched and was so excited. It was what I was most excited about. Like, everything paled in comparison to how excited I was for the Narrows hike. Until we get to the base of the Narrows hike, and I've got my staff that I'm ready to, and my rain boots, and I think I was wearing like a Packers jersey, and I was just like ready to go. I had my outfit, and all of a sudden, this guide shows up, right? Not a cool deal. I was excited to go pave my own way in the Narrows in like adventure, and this guide shows up and is like, hey, I'm your guide, and I'm gonna show you the way. And I'm like, no, I want to, like, I've been waiting for this. I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to go in there and adventure. Like, that's what I love to do. So I was a little bit bummed, but I was like, I'll give you a chance, bro. So the guide, then he says this, you got to put this on. And he pulls up like this, like, overall poncho thing that only the kids had to wear. And I'm like, this guy's like, not a cool dude, right? I'm not excited for this. Then he continues and says, well, we're going to start off slow. And I'm like, stop there. We're not starting off slow. We're going straight in. So he keeps going. And all I hear is, I'm going to make this more boring. I'm going to ruin your Narrows hike. That's all I heard. So I didn't trust the guy, okay? But he said he was a guy. Anyways, I learned pretty quick to appreciate this guide. Specifically, we were walking through probably like a mile in. It's like, I had a bad attitude. Mile in, you're walking, it's like this deep. And it's beautiful, but I'm kind of like, why do we need a guide to walk through a river? It's pretty simple. Then we get to a head in the road. One way is super narrow and dark and scary looking. And like, even I didn't want to go in there. Then the other one is like beautiful and lush. But you can't really see where around the corner. I'm like, obviously we're going to go this way. Guess what? The guide's like, nope, we're going this way. And I was like, no way. So we go and I follow the guide that way. Next part where I was stoked to have a guide. We get to this point in the Narrows. There's times when you cannot hike the Narrows because the waters are too high and there's like flood warnings and stuff where the water will like rush through. Anyways, that wasn't the case for then, but there's deep spots where the water was super deep, like up to me because I was like Emma Hill size at the time. And love you. And I was like up to here. And there's like a current because there's waterfalls and streams and pulling. And the guide not only showed us the way, but he actually stood on the other side and we could like reach out with our staff and he would pull us through to the other side. So needless to say, he became pretty helpful. And I remember having like a profound moment at the end of the hike where I was like stoked on our guide. I wish I remembered his name. But I remember realizing without that guide, we probably... one would have gotten hurt, like I would have drowned for sure, or something of the sort. I would have for sure gotten hurt. We definitely would have gotten lost because as it went on, the river split off in a ton of different directions. So we definitely would have got lost. And we wouldn't have been able to enjoy the beauty of the Narrows hike to the fullest. Because we would have been worried about what direction do I go, or can I step here because it looks shallow, but is it deep? And there's so many questions that come up of where do I go? Where do I take the next step? And because we didn't have to worry about that, because we had the guide saying, no, follow me. I'll show you the way. We could enjoy the beauty of the Narrows to the fullest. And you can go to the next slide. This was in front of the Narrows hike. And basically what it showed was just The simple fact that it can be dangerous, right? And I learned that really quick, that it could be dangerous and that we needed someone to guide us in order to enjoy the fullness of it. For sheep, which again, we're talking about in Psalm 23, back to Psalm 23, sheep need a guide. And as David is using this image of a shepherd, shepherds are a sheep's guide. They guide them away from danger. They guide them towards a flourishing life, right? If you're a sheep, you need someone to guide you in the right direction so that you could be a healthy, good sheep that enjoys the sheep life, right? For us, in the same way, we need a guide. I don't know about you guys, but oftentimes I don't know what to do. There's times in my life where I don't know, there's a decision in front of me and I don't know how to make that decision. Whether it be small stuff, like who I'm going to hang out with, or big stuff, like when you are an adult, of like what can we spend money on and what we can't. But especially in relationships can be hard, or whatever that may be. There's this question in mind of, where do I go? What step do I take next? I don't know where to go. We need a guide. And naturally, we look for something or someone to guide us. A lot of times, for good reasons, we look to our parents, which are great guides in life, right? We oftentimes look to friends who can be good guides, or they can be bad guides in the direction that we're going to go. Maybe mentors or leaders in our life that want to lead us. There's good guides that we can have. But I think more obviously, there are also some really harmful guides that we often look to of the direction that we should be going in our life. I think of the culture that we live in nowadays. Just as an example, we live in a celebrity culture. So not to say that celebrities are bad people, but I just want to paint you a picture of how we often look at them as guides. Think about the culture where musicians, name your favorite musician that's really popular right now.
Need to breathe.
Kendrick Lamar. Eminem, okay? Let's think about these people, right? We look at Eminem, Kendrick Lamar, these guys, right? Not to talk about them specifically, but just think about, we look at them, we look at Eminem, we look at Kendrick Lamar, we look at Kim Kardashian, we look at Odell Beckham Jr., these athletes. We look at Ninja, right? We look in his streaming. What's the streaming service called that for Fortnite?
Twitch.
So Ninja is twitching to like 65 million people or whatever it is, right? We look at these people and we idolize them. We say, that's the good life, right? The way that they're living, I want to live like them. I want to live like them. And you make decisions, whether you know it or not, based on your vision of what the good life is based on them. They have a lot of money. I want a lot of money. They have a lot of followers on Twitch or whatever you call it. I want a lot of people to watch me play Fortnite, which is weird. Or Kim Kardashian has a trillion Instagram followers. I need to post pictures like her so I can have a trillion Instagram followers, right? We see how that can go down the line. But our vision for what it looks like to live a good life, to have the best life for us, it often starts with who's guiding us or what's guiding us in that direction. For me growing up, I wanted to be a pro surfer so bad. So naturally, I would look at my favorite pro surfers, see what they wear, see how they act, see what they say, see what they do, and I would try to emulate and do what they did. Because I thought that if I could be like them in any way, then that would be, like, I would be living a good life, right? Soon I realized that, more realistically, I could probably be like a cool football player. So, not a pro surfer, but when I got to high school, I was like, okay, I can't be a pro surfer, but I could be like one of the cool football players on my football team. So again, same deal. I would look at these cool football players that held their chest really big, and they were really buff, and they had a lot of girls that liked them and all this kind of stuff. And I looked to them, and that was my vision of, if I could just be like them, then I'd be living the good life. Like, that's the right direction that I want to live. So just to paint a picture of how we often look to things and people as guides of what it looks like to live like the best life that we can live. So these things aren't bad in themselves, right? Wanting to be a good football player, or wanting to stream on Twitch, or wanting to be a pro athlete, like, those aren't the bad things. The bad things is when we look at these people or these things which are external and we say, that's the goal. Like, the goal is, if I could get a lot of money and be successful and have a lot of people that like me, like, that's the goal. That's what's going to guide my life. That's the end goal on the path that I'm going on. That is when things get out of control or bad. The world says a few things. These are just like general messages in the culture. If you look at, if you take all the music in the industry right now, if you take all the movies, all the YouTube videos you guys watch, everything, there's some messages that are kind of obvious. First one is be your own guide. Blaze your own trail. Figure out what's true for you and you pursue it, right? That's like one of the main messages right now. Another one is if it feels good, do it. Like whatever feels good to you, you go in that direction. You follow whatever feels good for you. And these may seem like good ways to go sometimes, but at the end of the day, they leave us empty, right? I know for me, if I were to follow every day, if I were to wake up and said, whatever feels good, I'm gonna do it, 95% of the time, those things would not be good things. 95% of the time, like let's just put food for example. If I said, I wake up in the morning, I'm gonna eat just whatever like tastes good today. I would wake up and I would eat 4 chocolate croissants and a vanilla latte. For lunch, I would have 2 Chick-fil-A sandwiches and like 3 of their shakes. And then for dinner, I would go to like all you can eat sushi and eat, right? At the end of that day, how would I feel? Really bad. I would not feel good, right? And if you apply that to life, right? If we make decisions based on that, a lot of times those aren't the best decisions. That's not a good guide. But that's a lot of the messages that the world is throwing at you guys. It's throwing at us. This is not the way that God intended us to live. Jesus himself would say that the fullest life, the best life that we could live, is a life trusting him as our savior and a life trusting him as our shepherd, as our guide. So where and how does Jesus guide those of us who follow him? What's his vision for the good life? What is the right path that he wants to guide us on? The next part of the verse, he guides me along right path. So let's talk about what right paths means and what it means for God to guide us on those. I think when it says right paths, we can assume that it just means the right way to live, right? So when we're going on the right path, that means we're living the right way. So when you hear that, just think that in your mind. So when you guys hear that, what do you think are some things that are steps in the right direction on a right path? Like what comes to mind when you hear right path, what do you think of?
Good decisions.
Good decisions? What kind of good decisions? Yeah, what's a good decision? Yeah, so not spending your money fast, saving well, that's right, step in the right direction. What else comes to mind when you think of right path? Sign telling you where to go. Yeah, this is the right direction.
Being a good person.
So yeah, so as we're talking about being a good person, what are some things that good people do? Like what are some actions of people going on a right path? Yeah.
Others before themselves.
Yeah. Treat others well. Yeah.
Honest.
Loyal. Kind. Okay. Yeah. I think these are all things that I think of when I think of a right path. I mean, I thought a little more practical at first of I even drew something in my journal. Like when I think of a right path, my mind goes to like not doing drugs, not saying cuss words, not playing Fortnite after 10 o'clock, reading your Bible and participating in small groups each week. Or what about like the practical ones? Like you were saying, Brenner, about like saving money, going to college, getting a good job, getting married, having a house, right? These are all things that if you were to make a list of like, this is stuff that's on the right path to a good life, you would write some of those things down, right? That's what comes to mind when we think of that. And these may be true, right? It is good. These are all good things that you guys were saying. But again, or more importantly, I think Jesus doesn't just want to give us a list of do's and don'ts. I think Jesus wants to guide us in much deeper ways than that. I think Jesus wants to guide us in ways that start from the inside out. So let's talk about that. Matthew 22:37, Jesus is talking to a group of religious leaders, and they ask, what's the greatest commandment? His disciples and some religious leaders, what's like the greatest thing that we can do? Basically what they're saying is, what's the right path? And Jesus' response is awesome. He says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So Jesus' vision for the right path starts with this premise, that going in the right direction starts with loving the Lord your God, loving God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. So let's start with heart. What does he mean by heart? Well, heart is oftentimes what you most desire. What you most desire. So when you think of the heart, loving God with your heart, it's loving God with your desires, with what you want most. So as you think about your life, what are the things that you want the most in life, right? And typically those are the things that when you want something really bad, then your actions follow that, right? So if you really want, what's something you guys really want right now? Yeah. An underwater dome. What is that? A camera for filming underwater, right? So that's a practical example, right? Of Luke really wants his heart. He desires this underwater dome camera so he can take awesome pictures, right? Now, his actions are going to follow that, right? So because of that, he is going to wash cars or babysit or whatever you do to make money so you can get your underwater dome, right? His actions follow where his heart is. The same thing is in our relationship with God and in our life in general. If what we want is people to like us the most, like if that's our heart's desire, if we really looked inside and saw that was what we wanted, what do you think the actions would follow after that? Yeah.
Not being yourself.
Yeah, you might not be yourself. You might act certain ways. You might just try to please people, even if it's not in line with who you are or what you value, right? That's a great example. So we can see how that goes, that comes into play. So Jesus, he wants to guide our heart towards himself. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. The next thing is the mind. Let's talk about the mind. The mind is what you believe to be true, what you believe to be true about the world, about God, about yourself. It's what you think. It's your ideas. So when Jesus talks about loving God with our mind, it's loving God by fixing our minds on what is true, on what is good, not on the things that aren't true about him, about us. That's where Jesus wants to guide us. Also, our soul. The soul is a word that we see in the Bible all the time. And basically, it's the deepest part of us. It's like the core of who we are is our soul. And Jesus wants to guide our soul towards him. Mitch, you can go to the next slide. What's important about this, about Jesus starting when asked the question, basically, what is the right path? And he answers with, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, is the fact that it leads to our actions, right? Jesus wants to guide us, starting with the stuff inside of us. And as we do that, that leads to character. And character are a lot of the things that you guys were talking about, of like being honest or being patient or being kind. Like those are things that are a part of our character. That's who we are. Like you could be a kind person or the kind of person who is patient with people, the kind of person who is loving with people. So as Jesus guides our hearts and our souls and our minds towards him, towards truth, and towards good things, that develops our character. It develops who we are as people. And then as that happens, that leads to our actions on the outside, how we behave, what we say, and what we do. Our actions flow from who we are. Our actions flow from our heart and our soul and our mind and our character. So when we hear he guides us along right paths, it's important for us not to just think about the external actions. Those are really important to God. But Jesus wants to guide us starting with the inside and moving outward. He doesn't just want to give us a list of things to do and things not to do. He says, come, follow me. I'll show you the right way to live. And he invites us on that journey. So with that, the next part of the passage is probably the most important part of the entire verse. He guides me along right paths for his namesake. For his namesake. What does that mean? Well, in short, he guides us along right paths for him, ultimately. For him. We live in a day and age that is all about making a name for ourselves. I feel this pressure every single day, and I know you guys do too. We live in a day and age where, think about the entertainment industry that we all love, right? It's a good thing. But movies, sports, Netflix, video games, all of these things, they promote this making a name for yourself a lot of the times. It's all about what can I do to make my name known to as many people as possible. Or think about social media, right? Social media is not bad in itself, but a lot of times social media is all about promoting yourself, right? It's how many likes can I get? It's what can I post? It's what can I do to make more people like me, to make more people know me? We live in a culture that's success driven. We live in a culture where it's, hey, worry about your character, worry about who you are and how you treat other people later. Just worry about what you can do, right? Worry about what you can achieve, that you can go to a good college and be successful and have a lot of money, right? That is all around us. Now, you matter in the deepest way to God. Let me be clear with that. Each and every one of you matter to God. He loves you. You're valuable to him. He's crazy about you. Yet, this life that we live is not about you. We were not created for our names to be known. We were created to bring honor and glory to God. So as Jesus guides us along the right paths, there's two things that happen. One, God is honored and he is glorified. When we are people who are kind and honest and good and patient and loving, and that expresses itself in how we live our life and the decisions that we make, God is glorified in that. God is glorified in that because it's about him. It's for his namesake. And it just so happens that that is also for our good. That the best life that we can live brings glory to God, and it's the fullest life for us as well. A lot of times, I know for me growing up, living, being a Christian and following Jesus didn't always sound like the most fun way to live. A lot of times when I told friends that didn't go to church or weren't Christians that I was a Christian, you could kind of get the sense they're like, oh, that's kind of cool, but sounds boring, right? That's kind of an image that might come up. But that's not the image that Jesus gives of a life following him. Jesus presents an image of the fullest life possible, a life full of meaning and joy and purpose as we follow him. So how do we follow Jesus along right paths? Let's briefly touch on that. There's two things that come to mind as I think about what does it mean to follow Jesus along right paths. And the first one is this. The first one is trust. In order for us to follow Jesus and for him to guide us along right paths, we have to trust Jesus as our guide, right? Just like when I was in Zion and I initially didn't trust the guide that he was going to lead in the right direction, let alone lead in a direction that was going to be fun and awesome, that we could enjoy the narrows. But what did I learn at the end of it? I gained trust as we kept going. And as I trusted him, I realized actually the best way to enjoy the narrows hike is to trust in the guide as he leads me. The same is for Jesus in our life. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. If there is like something to meditate on your entire life, as you guys are in junior high and you have literally the world ahead of you and an overwhelming amount of decisions to make. Every single day you have decisions to make to step in the right direction or to make wrong decisions. to have this in your mind of trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Trust in who he is, that he is your Savior, that he loves you, that he offers you forgiveness and mercy and grace when you mess up, but also that he will lead you in the right direction. Lean not on your own understanding. Believe it or not, your understanding of the way things are isn't always the best. I know your parents probably tell you that all the time, but even as a 25-year-old who I don't live with my parents, I need to remind myself of that too. That I don't always have the right direction in mind. But I need to trust in God and trust in his path. I need to submit to him and say, God, I want to go the way that you want me to go. God, lead me in that direction. It starts with trust. And then trusting in this. Jesus is not only the guide who's showing us the way to the best life and the right way to live that brings honor to him, but Jesus himself is the way. Jesus himself is the abundant life. Jesus himself, that when we have a relationship with him, it doesn't matter what happens. The circumstances, the things in our life. If we have a relationship with Jesus, we can rest in that. We can rest in who he is and what he's done for us. We were made for relationship with him. Jesus is our guide. He shows us how to live, but he also is the way. In John 14:6, he's talking to his disciples and he said, I am the way, I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way. He is the way to the fullest life imaginable. So trust. Trust is important. The next one is as we trust Jesus, as we trust him with all our heart and trust the path that he has us on, stay course. Stay course. Before there was Siri and GPS, there was a thing called a compass. How many of you guys have ever used a compass before? They're pretty cool. Compasses, what do? Yeah. They lead you in the right direction. They point north, right? When you hold the compass, the little arrow continues to point north. And you, if you're going somewhere, you have the decision to stay course, right? We have a compass in Jesus. We have a direction that we can go, that can always go back to. Jesus is our true north. He is the one that we should always be turning to. So how do we do that? Well, let's talk briefly about heart, mind, and soul. Our goal should always be to turn our heart, our mind, and our soul to Jesus. That should be our goal, that is staying course, that whenever we are in our life, taking a moment and taking stock of where we're at and saying, where's my heart at? Where's my mind at? Where's my soul? Where are the deepest parts of me? And returning it back to Jesus. And those are the things that we want to do here, right? So some basic ways, or not basic ways, but some important ways that we talk about all the time of returning back to Jesus is through prayer, Bible reading, community, and then just practice. So as we pray, basically what we're doing is we're acknowledging God. We're saying, God, I acknowledge you. I acknowledge that you're there. I acknowledge that you're with me. And then communicating with him and asking God to guide our hearts as he's with us. Bible reading, directing our mind to truth, what we think about, our ideas about God, ourselves, and the world. As we read the Bible is full of truth, not just a list of do's and don'ts, but truth about who God is, who we are, and truth about the world. This is our true north, back to Jesus. And then our soul. Our soul is what we trust as true, what we trust as true in the deepest parts of us. And that's where all of these things together can do that. Community, it's important that we encourage one another to keep each other accountable, to point each other back to Jesus, back to our guide, the true north. And then practice. Practice is just simply doing it. That when you make decisions throughout your day, actually asking the question of what is the right direction in this situation. It's always going to be towards Jesus and making that decision and doing that. So to close, just encouragement for us. Jesus wants to guide us to the best life possible. That best life might not be the vision that you have for the best life for you. But I promise you, if you trust Jesus, if we trust Jesus as our guide, he will guide us along the right paths. And we need to remember that it's not about us. It's about God. It's about our life bringing honor and glory to him. And as we do that, our life will be full of joy and meaning and purpose. So as we pray, Mitch, I'm going to have you go back to that last slide that you're just on and just list heart, mind, and soul. So as the worship team comes up, I want to just spend a few minutes just thinking about where do we need God to direct us this morning? Where do we need God to guide us? Maybe some of us, we need God to guide our hearts, what we desire most, back to him or towards him for the first time. Maybe we're distracted by all the things that we want right now in life, the things that we desire, whether it be stuff or circumstances or things like that. Maybe we need God to direct our minds. Maybe we haven't been focusing our minds on truth about who God is, about who we are, about the world around us. And we need God to direct our minds back to truth. Maybe some of us, deep in the deepest parts of us, we just feel lost. And we need God to just hold us and remind us of who he is and take us back to him. So let's just take a few minutes as Mitch is going to hit the lights and just think about these things with God. God, as we focus our hearts and our minds on you, I pray that you would direct our path. You would show us where to go, but that ultimately you would direct us back to you. God, we praise you this morning, and we ask that you would be with us and that you would lead us and guide us, not just in our decisions and our actions, but in the deepest parts of us, our heart, mind, and our soul. We love you. In your name, amen. Let's stand together.